Amen.
Brother, before you get started,
yes, sir.
I forgot, there were some folks that weren't here last time, Brother Drew was here, but for all those, this is Brother Drew Barlow, who currently right now resides in Prattville, Alabama. He grew up over around the Evergreen Cohasset area, over that area, or
well,
Cohasset, but over there, more to Evergreen.
Like right by Hubbard, really.
Hubbard, okay, yeah, that's what I'm sure.
That's right, I was just on this side of Needmore, actually.
So he's here today. He is interested in our pastor position, so he is proud of that. And he has his sons Colton, Tyler, Kelly, and Mason with us today also. He has his wife is Crystal. They're in Alaska this week, and I think he said his daughter Cassandra.
Carolina.
Carolina is with her.
She's with Mama, or with my mom. Cassidy, that's right. Cassidy's with her. Hey, he did pretty good. Most people can't get past. Well, thank you again, church, for allowing us to be with you today. We're very grateful for the opportunity and hope that you'll bear with us. It is different being without traveling without my wife. You know, it's a lot different. I think my kids get away with a lot more, which they might appreciate, but Mom will be home soon. Just another week, so pray for her. She'll be traveling back. Her and Cassidy will be flying back next Sunday afternoon. We'll drive up and pick them up. But it is good to be in the house of the Lord today. I woke up this morning, it was low 60s. Beautiful weather outside, you know. I'm enjoying this. If you ever want to go to Alaska but can't afford to, just walk outside. This is Alaska in the summertime right now. No humidity, just about 70 degrees. Beautiful God country weather, okay? All right, so if you got your Bibles this morning, on a better note, let's not talk about the weather. Let's talk about the Bible. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. Turn with me there. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. Again, thank you, church, for allowing us to be with you. Thank you to our military men and women who fought. Many have died, lost their lives for what we call freedom. And I'm thankful for that, but I'm thankful for our Savior, Jesus Christ, who's made us free from sin. 2 Samuel chapter 11, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning, Lord, once again for an opportunity, Lord, to stand behind the pulpit. Lord, I'm not worthy, but thank you, Lord, for giving me an opportunity. God, I pray I don't mess it up. Pray, God, you'll just cleanse me of sin this morning, empty me of self, fill me with your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come down and just meet with us this morning. Get Drew out of the way. These people need to hear from the Lord. God, I just want to be a messenger. Lord, allow me to say only what you want me to say and say nothing that you don't want me to say. God, just meet with us this morning. Bind the devil off this place. He's not welcome here. We just assume he'd not be anywhere near this property. And Holy Spirit, we sure would love for you to show up to your house this morning and meet with us as we open up your word this morning and talk about David. God, just meet with us. Help us learn and glean. And Lord, take with us what we've learned and apply it to our lives, Lord. And we'll pray all this and be careful to give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired. I underlined that little phrase. I'll explain it in a second, what it meant to me. At the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. Notice that slogan, walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was coming to him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of the Lord, and went not into his own house. When they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down into the house, David said to Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down into thy house? Here, you know the story. David is sitting in the palace when he's supposed to be on the battlefield, by the way. It said, you know, the time, it was the time for kings to go to battle. Here he is doing something he shouldn't be doing. He ends up on the roof of his own house, of all places. How many of you like to just go stroll for on the top, on your roof just when you're bored? Well, I can tell you something. He must have been a pretty bored dude. But, you know, he was on the roof. He saw Bathsheba. He should not have been up there in the first place. He should have been on the battlefield. He saw something he shouldn't have seen. And, you know, here, lust is conceived. It bringeth forth sin, right? Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Bathsheba comes. She's with child. David finds out. He tries to cover up his sin. Do you see how familiar this is? Church, listen, this is what we do as Christians. We try to cover up our sin. Well, today I want to preach a message, and I entitled it A Rooftop Experience You'll Never Forget. A rooftop experience you'll never forget. Number one, I want you to see David tarried when he should have been fighting. If you look there in verse number 11, at the bottom of it, the Bible says, let's just read the verse. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David and all Israel, they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. So he sent Joab. Now, was David a king? David was the king at this time. The Bible clearly says right there, the time when kings go forth to what? David should have been on the battlefield. But number one, I want you to look. David tarried when he should have been fighting. David knew it was a time when kings were to go forth to battle, but instead, he had Joab lead with his servants. I wonder how many times in your life has God specifically said, hey, brother so-and-so, hey, sister so-and-so, here's a need in the church, here's a need in your community, here's a need in your home. I'm giving you the opportunity to meet this need, and he's already equipped you for what you need, and by faith, all you have to do is believe that God can and is able to do and will do exactly what he said he will do. He's already equipped you for the battle, but instead of you doing it, you have the authority to tell someone else to go do your job. Why did David not go to battle? The Bible says it was a time for kings to be on the battlefield, but instead, David found it a little bit easier to just say, Joab, why don't you just go do this? Imagine had David been on the battlefield that day and not on the rooftop. How much heartache David could have saved himself over the years. We're going to get into the consequences of David's sin. It was great, far greater than he ever imagined. Why is this important to me? It came to pass, the Bible says, after the year was expired. You know, I believe the whole Bible is written for us. Everybody okay with that? You can clearly read your Bible and understand that not every bit of it was directed to you, but it's all for you. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration and it's profitable, all of it. So I began to study this, and you know, after the year was expired, and the thing I came up with in my own mind, I think about this. I was back in 2020, there were some things that happened in our life. It was a pretty long year. Our daughter Carolina was born. She was in the NICU for a long time, and just, you know, it seemed like the year 2020, it was just storm after storm after storm after storm. Anybody ever had a year like that? And then finally, the year comes to an end. 2021's upon us, like right now, 2023. You know, some of you are probably going through storms right now. No doubt 2023 may be some of the hardest years of your life. There's a brother right there. I imagine he could testify that this year's been pretty difficult. He hasn't been able to be in church since what, Easter Sunday, brother? Hey, it's been a pretty tough storm. But can I tell you something? These storms are going to pass, but new storms are coming. That's where we don't need to mess up, church. David had been through some victories. See, David, this is the same David that stepped out on the battlefield in 1 Samuel 17 and said, "Is there not a cause?" Where's that mentality from the church? Church, there's a cause. Look at our country. It's dying and going to hell in a haystack every single day. The book of Isaiah teaches us that hell enlarges itself. Why do you think hell has to get bigger? Because when God created hell, he created it for the devil and those third of the angels that decided they were going to follow him. He created it that perfect size for those individuals. He never created it for any of you. He never created it for any of them on the outside of these walls. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But every day, hell's getting bigger. Hey, 2023 is just about half over. Some of your storms are coming to an end. You might be able to breathe a little bit when this storm's over, but just know that new storms are on the horizon. You better be ready to still fight. This is the same David that defeated Goliath. This is the same David that killed a lion with his own hands. The same David that killed a bear. I may have said this before. I've seen a lot of bears up close living in Alaska. Not one time did I ever consider taking that dude on 1 vs. 1. Not once. I never thought about it. And to be honest, this might sound good for me, that bear never thought about taking me on either. I don't know what that means. But I never had a real dangerous encounter, thank the Lord. But this is the same David who is now commanded to go fight on the battlefield. And instead of going on, you know, he's been through some battles, he's gained some ground. Maybe what we like to call is we got some seniority now, and we just feel like, why should I do that when I could have this guy do it? I'll tell you why. Because Satan is after your mind. You know, had David been on the battlefield that day, his eyes never would have been able to look upon Bathsheba. Never would have happened. And I can't prove this, but I'd like to believe that I can prove that that baby that Bathsheba and them had would have never happened. Amnon might not have suffered later in life. Absalom might not have suffered later in life. What happened to Tamar by her own brother may not have happened later in life. We're going to get into that here pretty quick. Listen, you think when you sin, you're caught, it's over with. No, no, no. Choose your choices, but you can't choose your consequences. Ever. It doesn't work like that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's what the Bible says. At the end of the year, it's really easy to just relax and get numb to the things that God has for us and forget the importance of fighting our battles. So what do? We expect someone else to fight for us. We get fixated on things that we're not supposed to be doing. By doing this, we become very vulnerable to the devil's attacks. Number two, David rested when he should have been fighting. Number one, he tarried. Number two, he rested. Look in verse number two. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose off his bed. He sent out other men to fight his battle, and he just went to bed. Went to bed, went to sleep. He rested when he should have been fighting. I wonder how many of us have active spiritual battles that we ought to be fighting, but we choose to just put those battles behind us for now, not think about them, thinking they're just going to go away on their own and forget about them. And all of a sudden when we wake up, we find ourselves wandering out on a rooftop somewhere where we're not supposed to be. Maybe not a physical roof, but you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Can I tell you this? You're on your way to a rooftop experience that you're never going to forget. And by the way, I didn't say mountaintop. We're not talking about good experiences here. We're talking about experiences that might feel good right now, but are going to wreck your world later. Why? Because God said, be not deceived. See, sin has ultimately been paid for, correct? Jesus paid for that sin. But now, do we still suffer here on this earth when we do wrong? If I go to the store and I pick up a bag of chips and a soda, and I walk past the cash register and not pay for it, and they catch me, what's going to happen? I'm probably going to get accused of stealing. And more than likely have to pay a fine or go to jail. Something like that's going to happen. Why? What? Jesus died for that. Why should I have to pay for that? Hey, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You say, why do you keep quoting that? Because I want you to understand what we're about to learn here. You're not exempt from. I'm not exempt from. Have you ever been somewhere you're not supposed to be? All God's people said, amen. All of us have. And all of a sudden you fall asleep on the things of God to one day wake up and just start wondering. David arose and walked upon the roof of the king's house. His house. David was probably bored, idle-minded. Can I tell you something? The devil will always attack your mind first. See, our soul is made up of three parts. It's made up of our mind, our emotion, and our will. Now see, I want you to watch just how the devil attacked David here. He attacked his mind by allowing him to see something he should have never seen. Now did God tell David to stay home and take a rest, tarry there, take a rest, and get out and go on the roof? Did God tell him to do that? Where should David have been, church? On the battlefield. God had it very clear place for David to be. Just like David, listen, God is not going to leave you wondering where you should be. You know where you should be. God is not the author of confusion. If you're confused, let me tell you a secret. It's not God. The Bible says he's not the author of confusion. So when I'm confused, what do? Acknowledge that that's not a God thing. Because God would not leave you wondering, I wonder if I should do this, or I wonder if I shouldn't do this. Stop for a second. Pray. Ask the Lord to give you some clarity. Go talk to your husband. Go talk to your wife. Go talk to your moms. Go talk to your dads. Go talk to your pastor. Go talk to someone who can help you. Don't make impulse decisions. Be not deceived. I'm going to say it again. Say it with me. Be not deceived. God is not what? Whatsoever a man, that shall he also reap. He attacked his mind by allowing him to see something he never should have seen. The devil is no fool. He knows how to attack you where it will hurt. See, why didn't the devil tempt David with alcohol? Maybe David didn't have a problem with alcohol. You say, oh no, you're getting close to home here. Why didn't the devil tempt David with something else? Fame. Well, he had plenty of that. You know what the devil knew about David? Is that David had a little wandering eye. And you know what happened? Remember Solomon? Oh my goodness, we could go on and on and on. But the devil is not going to throw something at you that's not going to tempt you. One of the best messages I ever heard preached was by a man named Kenny Ball when he entitled it, "Don't Bite the Bait." How many like fishing in here? Now, when you're fishing, if you're like me, you take different baits with you, right? Why do we do that? Because we want to see which bait is working. Now, if we're using green worms and they're not biting green worms, and my brother's using a pink worm and they're killing that pink worm, am I going to say, you know what? I'm not using a pink worm, dude. I don't care how many fish you catch. Why would I do that? Because I would end up at the end of the day skunked with no fish. The same boat, they're biting pink worms. I'm literally 3 foot away from you, but I can't get a bite on the green worm. What's the smart thing to do? Put the pink worm on. Can I say something? Hey, stop playing with that. Whoever's playing with that, Kelly, stop. Sorry. The devil is not going to use a bait that he knows you're not going to bite. And you might not even bite the bait the first time. But there's been an awful lot of times in my life where that devil will cast that thing out there and I'll see the bait. Everybody with me here? You'll see it coming by. And you might not really acknowledge it that time. But can I tell you this? He knows you saw it. And the next time, he might get a little fancier. Make it move a little bit better. Maybe stop and hang out for a while. Let it go to the bottom. You see what I'm saying? And the next time, you know, maybe that night after you saw that bait, you didn't really act on it. Maybe, husband, you went home and you had a disagreement with your wife. Wife, you disagree with your husband. Moms and dads, you're mad at the kids. Kids, you're mad at mom and dad, and you're all going to bed angry. And that bait comes out the next day, and now that sin is lying in your heart. And the devil's not going to say, you know what, it wouldn't be fair for me to cast that bait to him right now. He's too vulnerable. No, no, no. Double hook. Hello? The bait's coming back, and this time it's going to smell good. It's going to look good. You're going to crave it. You're going to bite it, and you're going to mess up. That's what happened to David here. But if you're in the right place at the right time, you just might not be so vulnerable. After David saw this woman with his eyes, watch this, all of a sudden it wasn't good enough for his flesh to just look. He thought in his mind that he needed to have this woman for himself. His emotions were out of control. At first it was his mind. Now it's his emotions. And his emotions are about to attack the third part of the soul, the will. It's about to predict what's going to happen. His emotions are out of control because of what his mind had just perceived. Unfortunately, his emotions were about to predict his will. David was even warned this was Uriah's wife. He was told very clearly, that's another man's wife. Don't do that, bud. Hey, many of us are given opportunities like this. The Bible says where sin abound, grace did what, church? Much more abound. Listen, the devil's never going to just win a victory without the Spirit of God coming in and giving you that opportunity to win. This was David's opportunity right here. That someone else's wife, David should have said, whoa, you know what? You're right. I thought about messing up. Let me go repent of my thoughts. And church, it would have been all right. But he didn't. He didn't do that. He ignored it all because he was sowing to the flesh. David was walking in the flesh. David pursued after Bathsheba when he should have been fighting. That's number three. He pursued. David had now acted upon his sin, and this sin was going to change his life forever. Be sure you will reap what you sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You always, church, you always reap more than you sow. You see, David never could have imagined the punishment that was going to come to him. And it wasn't just David that suffered. His children suffered. I wonder how many of you moms and dads would say, I would make the same choice as if I knew my babies were going to suffer for it. I wonder how many dads would say, I'm still, and listen, I'm not accusing you of anything. I just want to tell you a statistic right now, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches, 70% of married men admitted to being addicted to pornography. 70% of independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists. You know what that is? That means 70% of them are honest. Now, I'm not saying that you're addicted to pornography, but what I'm saying is, I wonder, Daddy, if you knew when you chose to look at that stuff, how it was going to affect your children down the road, how it was going to affect your boys in the future, if you would still choose to look at that stuff. Moms, I wonder if you knew every time you turned that TV show on that is promoting fornication and promoting things that we preach against and promoting anti-God. I wonder if you knew how it was really affecting your baby girl's mind, if you would allow yourself to watch that stuff. David didn't think about that. Because of David's sin, tragedy struck. Go with me to 2 Samuel, chapter number 12. Just over one page. Verse number 13 and 14. We're going to hurry. We got about 17 minutes. We're going to make it happen. Verse number 13 and 14. The Bible says, and David said unto Nathan, I have what? Sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall what, church? Child number one. Now stay with me. Remember, we're not exempt. This could happen to any of us. His decision, because of what he had done, Oh, God's not going to hold me accountable. Hey, not for heaven. Thank God Jesus died for that. But don't be mistaken. You will reap what you sow. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. God hates sin. His only begotten Son, Jesus, had to die for sin. That's why he hates it so much. Yes, the penalty, the ultimate sacrifice has been made so that you can have provision, so that you can have eternal life, so that you can have salvation. But there's still punishment for your sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. Child number one. The baby that he and Bathsheba were to have would die. Look at 2 Samuel 13. Verse number 11. This is David's son Amnon and his daughter Tamar. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, saying, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly, and I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Now listen, David had a wandering eye. David had a problem with women, but Amnon is far greater than that. Can I tell you something? Parents, what you choose to do in moderation, your children are going to do in excess. It's all through the Bible. What you might have just a little problem with a wandering eye, Dad. But I bet you David could have never imagined that his own flesh and blood was going to lust after his own sister to the point of forcing her to lie with him and to do things to her that we can't even fathom in our minds. What if the daddy would have just been battling like he should have been doing? Instead of tarrying, instead of resting. What if daddy would have just been doing his job? Hey, daddies, listen. Here's the problem. We're relying on mama to do your job. Daddy, you're the head of the home for a reason. You have a great responsibility as a daddy, as a husband, to be a leader. You say, my wife won't follow me. Well, listen, let me tell you something. If you lead by the godly example that she desires, she will have no problem following you. I promise. Try it sometime. Why won't my kids respect me? Because you're not being the daddy that God wants you to be. Hey, I'm preaching to myself. I had to learn for the first few years of my marriage that I couldn't just be the husband I wanted to be and expect my wife to just be okay with that. But man, when I started desiring to serve the Lord, and desiring and asking God to let me be the husband that he wants me to be. Guys, in our flesh, the Bible says, in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. So if that's true, and I believe it is, the Bible says it. If that's true, how could I possibly be a good husband living in my flesh? The answer is you cannot. Hey, how could I possibly be a good dad living in my flesh? I can't. Do every one of us desire to be better moms and dads? I sure do. Would everyone want to be a better husband? Yes, sir. Would everyone want to be a better wife? Yes, ma'am. Why? How? By heeding to the Holy Spirit. Man, David's about to suffer some real tragedy here. The iniquity and lust of David had passed down to his son Amnon. We're not going to turn there, but you can look at Exodus 20 in verse number 5. It talks about generational iniquities. How you know your sins will be cast down to the third and fourth generation. Generational iniquity. 2 Samuel chapter 13. We're right there. Look at verse number 28. Now Absalom, here's David's next son, had commanded his servant, saying, mark ye now what? When Amnon's heart is merry with wine, when he's what? Drunk, church. And when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him, fear not. Have not I commanded you, be courageous and be valiant? And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's son arose, and every man got him up upon his mule and fled. And it came to pass, while they were in the way, that tidings came to David, saying, Absalom hath slain all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left. Hey, child number two. He lost the baby. His daughter had been taken great advantage of. Now the siblings hate each other. Absalom comes in and says, "You know what, Amnon, because of what you've done to our sister, I'm going to kill you." Had him killed. Child number two, gone. Oh, and I'm sure David was feeling pretty messed up by now. But maybe a little piece of him felt that maybe Absalom was on his side and trying to defend him. But all along, you know what Absalom's doing? All he wants is the kingdom. Absalom, now that Amnon's out of the way, you see, many of us, the Bible doesn't say this, but sometimes, you know, when you read, I can't help but think that maybe, yeah, Absalom killed Tamar for sure. We know he killed killed Amnon because of what he did to Tamar. But, you know, getting that other boy out of the way, it no doubt made Absalom feel a little bit better about his ultimate goal, which was to take that kingdom from his daddy. Right? The Bible doesn't say that, but I can tell you, when another man was in the way, especially a brother, look, Jacob, Esau, look at that. Cain, Abel, comparison. Child number two, dead, slain by his brother. Amnon is now dead. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 18. What we're doing here is we're looking at reaping what we sow. 2 Samuel 18, verse 9, the Bible says, "And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule was under him, or the mule that was under him went away." By the way, he's not dead here. Be careful. He's not hanging by his neck. He's hanging by the hair of his head. He is not dead yet. "And a certain man saw it, told Joab, and said, 'Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak.' Joab said unto the man that told him, 'And behold, thou sawest him, and why wouldest thou not smite him there to the ground?'" Keep in mind, that's the same Joab that David sent out to battle. "And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and girdle, and a girdle." Now, hold on. Previously here, let's just back up a little bit. Joab was the man that David sent in his place, correct? That's what the Bible teaches us? So no doubt David thought he could trust this man. Now here, just a few chapters later, David had commanded, you know, Absalom is now trying to get the kingdom, and David's fleeing for his life, and David said, "You know what? If you see Absalom, don't touch my son." Did he not command them not to touch his boy? He still loved him. "There's a lot of things that my kids could do to upset me. And you know, but I can't ever think of anything I'd want to, I can't ever think of a reason to say, go ahead and hurt my child." David still loved his boy. And Joab knew that David had said that. And Joab said, "Why did you not kill him when you had the opportunity? I would have paid you to do that." Here's the same man that David trusted with the men of Israel, now is offering money for his son's head. Be careful who you trust. Be careful who you... Here's what it boils down to. Joab was never the right man for that job anyway. David was the right man for the job. You see, when God chooses a man or woman, God doesn't make mistakes. When we think, "I know someone a little bit better than that," you don't know anything, except you better trust the Lord. See, David put someone in there that he had no idea would soon be trying to pay people to kill his own boy. He didn't know that. Just be careful. When God chooses somebody, he makes no mistakes. Look at verse 12, chapter 18, 2 Samuel. We're almost done. "The man said unto Joab, 'Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth a hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, Beware that none touch the young man," who, church? "Otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life. For there is no matter hid from the king." Can I say there's no matter hid from God? The king. King Jesus knows it all. There is no matter hid from him. hid from the king, and thou wouldst have set thyself against me. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom. Who killed Absalom? Joab. Who did David send to battle? Wow. Hey, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Say it, church. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know what, David? You want to do it your way? Go ahead. But you're going to reap what you sow. And 10 young men that bear Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom, slew him. See, Joab thrust the darts in his heart. And then 10 of Joab's men came in and slew Absalom. Wow. Child number 3. David's life had been completely torn apart. Don't forget, you can choose your choices, but you cannot choose your consequences. I love that motto. I heard it at a preacher's conference years ago, and I wrote it in my Bible. And can I say something else, church? Compromise, it has no end. Don't compromise. Don't ever go outside of what God said do. Because you might compromise just a little bit, but look what a little bit of compromise turned into for David. Disaster. I wonder how close you are, church, to a rooftop experience that's about to change your life forever. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. If someone wants to come to the piano, that'd be great. I wonder this morning, church, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, it's 5 till 12. Listen, we can learn some things, daddies, mamas, this morning. I wonder how many of you, as that piano's playing, this altar's open, by the way, always. This altar's open. I wonder how many of you would say, you know, I can kind of relate to David. No one looking around. I can kind of relate to David. God has specifically showed me some things in life, and I've kind of put them off. Is there someone in here like that maybe you'd just be honest? Maybe I can pray for you. Maybe there's an altar right here you can come pray and ask the Lord to get back on track. Maybe you're David, and maybe God's clearly shown you something and you put it off and you gave it to someone else. Hey, mom. Hey, dad. Maybe you're up on that rooftop about to make the biggest mistake of your life. And God's saying, hey, I'm right here. There's still an opportunity to do right. Listen, church, it's never too late to do right. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Listen, daddy, it's not too late to become a better dad. Mama, it's not too late to become a better mom. Grandma, grandpa, it's not too late to make the biggest difference in those grandbabies' lives that you possibly can. Even if you only got a few months left, it doesn't matter. You can be the best grandma and grandpa that God ever created with His help. But listen, church, we're not going to be much if we put off what was intended for us and give it to somebody else. Heavenly Father, thank You this morning for Your word and for Your truth. Lord, thank You for meeting with us this morning. Thank You for these men and women who are here. Thank You for this church. God, I ask You this morning, Lord, if there's someone here, Lord, including myself, Lord, if You're asking me to do something and I haven't acknowledged it, Lord, may we just acknowledge what You have asked us to do, Lord. May we not put it off for someone else. May we not put off for tomorrow what could get done today. God, I pray, Lord, for this church. I pray for this community. And Lord, whatever's done here, Lord, may it honor and glorify You. Thank You for the servants here. Thank You for these people. Thank You for these dear children. Lord, bless my wife and my daughter as they travel back home next week. Lord, give them a safety home. We sure do miss them. Lord, thank You for the good weather today. And Lord, most of all, thank You for Your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, church.